Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is Colin Cattell. I took a bit of hiatus from hosting the show, but it feels to me like we're back in a bull market and lots to discuss, and couldn't help myself but getting back on the air. Today, one of my favorite guests, Jordan Roy Byrne, publisher of the dailygold.com. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Colin. How about you? It's good to have you back.
Yeah, no, I'm doing well. Thanks. I wanted to talk to you first because you're always looking right at the market and trying to determine where we are. And I think the most pressing question to ask you right now, are we in a bull market?
Well, definitely for gold. I think for gold stocks and silver, I mean, there's a lot of different definitions. But when we see the gold stocks, I mean, it will be officially confirmed when they take out the 2016 high for GDX and GDXJ. So, if you want to look at it and say, you know, are they above the long-term moving averages, then, I mean, they really have been in a bull market since the Fed shifted policy at the end of 2018, aside from basically the crash that we had. But if you look at a monthly chart, and if you just look at a monthly chart without bars or candles, and you just look at the like a line, which is only the closing prices every month, that would tell you that like nothing really happened, that the crash was just a correction and that we remained in a bull market. So I know there's a lot of semantics there, but we basically are for gold, and I think the gold stocks are right on the cusp as well, and I think silver will follow eventually. There's a few more things that need to happen for silver. We probably need to see the economy just bottom out to some degree, and inflation expectations really pick up, because when that happens, that's when silver outperforms gold. But I really like where we're at. I mean, I just think the recoveries in especially gold and GDX really, really were amazing to me. Just the last 7 or 8 weeks of action in this sector has been totally nuts. I mean, I was surprised enough when we saw gold rebound from 1450 all the way back to 1700. I mean, that was really a surprise, because during 2008, gold had a big rally. I think it was in September, but it wasn't able to get back to the high. And then we had the Lehman collapse, and so gold came down to 700, before it started the sustained recovery then. But this time around, so it has a hard sell-off to 1450 or thereabouts. And then it just rallied back to 1700, literally within 3 days. And so, I mean, that was really shocking to me. And then, recently, or I think over the last week or so, we saw the largest, the senior miners, Barrick and Newmont, they were able to rally back to their highs, but they made new highs. And gold made a new high too. So gold broke above 1700. Then the largest miners made a new high as well. So that kind of action is really, really bullish. And we just the pace of that, how quickly that happened. I mean, it took so much longer for that to happen in 2008. So to me, that was a real bullish signal. Number one, not only the fact that gold and the largest stocks were able to rally all the way back so quickly, but secondly, they broke to new highs. And then third, we have GDX, which, has a few more companies aside from the largest miners. That's basically on the cusp of new highs. So, I mean, within 2 months, we've seen a lot happen, but now the largest parts of the sector are at new highs, or basically around, the pre-corona highs. That to me, it's just insane how quickly that happened. But the main important takeaway, Colin, is this sector, when it comes off a significant low, it can move really aggressively and really fast. And I think that's what we've seen in the last, 4 or 5 weeks or so. And, the pace of the rebound and how quickly we've gotten back to highs and then made new highs, that's really bullish. And so the thinking now is that, we're at resistance. There's going to be a big correction. Maybe the stock market will go down again. The economy, all this bad news is going to come out. And that will be true. But remember, the market looks ahead. So maybe the market has already factored in a lot of that with respect to precious metals. So, I would not be surprised if we had a shorter correction than people are probably expecting now. And then the market is able to move to new highs again. And then you see, you know, the juniors and maybe silver start to get more of a bid. So I know I went off the rails there with that answer, but that's most of what I'm thinking right now.
Well, Jordan, if I'm a gold stock investor, which I am, I'm looking at gold. I'm looking at the gold mining stocks. I'm even looking at the juniors going, this feels and looks really, really good. The only concern that maybe a person would have is to look, like you just said, at the market and say, well, what happens if things start to fall again? Let's look for a second, though, at the fundamental picture. I personally heard people talk about helicopter money a year ago, 2 years ago, people like the Peter Schiffs of the world. And you'd hear it and you'd say, wow, that would definitely drive inflation, I would think. And that's crazy. That's never going to happen. What has transformed over the last month in your mind that, like, is this going to drive the bull market to higher highs than you thought were possible? All this Fed intervention because of the sell-off?
Well, I think the key difference between 2008 is the intervention, the money that we're seeing now. I mean, obviously, corporations have gotten a bailout and they'll probably get more. But politically, policymakers and politicians, they need to get money into the hands of taxpayers, households, individuals, small business, because, you know, those parties were not really helped after the last recession. And so politically there, I mean, it's just, everybody knows that it doesn't matter what your ideology is. Everybody knows that money has to get into the hands of, you know, those economic actors, and then they'll spend it, and that's what will cause inflation. That's what we did not have, you know, after 2008. And so that's what we're going to have this time. And Colin, at the same time, the government is going to have to take a, you know, a more active role in the economy. And when that happens, I mean, that's more inflationary, because the government is not going to hold back. I mean, they're going to spend money. So deficits, you know, the deficits are going to expand dramatically. And the Fed is going to, you know, as I said before, you know, the Fed is going to help probably pay for some of these bailouts and, you know, get money into the hands of people who will spend it. And that will cause inflation. So, you know, I'm not the foremost expert on all these things, but that's how I see it. And you know, last year I updated my book, and my thinking was, I think after the next recession and during the next economic expansion, at some point during that expansion, we'll start to see inflation, at least statistically, really start to pick up and accelerate. And so I don't know if that's going to be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. But I mean, we are setting the conditions this time around to have much higher inflation in the years ahead. And that, of course, will be, you know, gold and silver sniff that out first, and then secondarily the rest of the commodity sector. So I do think everything that's coming about and coming down the line, it is going to drive precious metals. And as I said, I mean, gold's already sniffed that out. I mean, gold had the sharp correction to 1450, rallied right back to 1700. Now it's almost at 1800. If you look at the gold price in foreign currencies, I have a basket where I just plot gold against the inverse of the dollar basket. The U.S. dollar equivalent price would be about 2400. So gold recently made a new all-time high against the Swiss franc. So it's basically made a new all-time high against every currency except the dollar. Everything really is in play. I mean, I don't want to sound like a permabull, but I don't see negatives for gold other than, you know, it's performing really well, and it's probably going to correct at some point. And, you know, maybe there can be a, you know, if this recession gets worse and we can't recover soon enough, you know, maybe there'll be some bankruptcies and, you know, there'll be some selling in gold like we saw a couple months ago. But I mean, other than that, just fundamentally, you know, we're at zero rates. We're seeing helicopter money, and, you know, eventually that's going to hit the economy during the next expansion. Inflation is really going to pick up. So real interest rates are going to be dramatically negative over the next several years. And like I said, gold's already sniffing that out. So this is, I mean, the worst environment for gold is, you know, it's not necessarily deflation, because we know what comes after deflation. There's huge money printing, and historically gold has done very well after that. So a lot of the bears think of deflation. The worst thing for gold is when real interest rates are going much, much higher because the economy is really strong. And we just, there's, I just see very little chance of that happening over the next several years. So again, I'm sorry for another long answer, but I just fundamentally, I mean, gold is just rock solid right now. We know the fundamentals of the, you know, the oil prices crashed. So if you're a big miner who's, you have an energy intensive project, you're getting some relief there. And as I just said, gold against foreign currencies. I mean, if you're producing gold in Australia, I mean, the Australian dollar is practically monopoly money right now. It's gone down so much. And then, you know, the Canadian dollar is only a little bit stronger than the Australian dollar. So if you're a gold producer in Canada or Australia or practically anywhere outside of the U.S., your dollar equivalent prices, to put in that view, are basically well over 2,000. And if you have an energy intensive operation, you're probably getting some relief because of the crash in energy prices. So the fundamentals for the sector are outstanding. It's just the next thing to watch for will be, you know, when silver outperforms gold, and that's when inflation expectations really bottom and start to turn up. I have not looked at the charts on that over the last, you know, week or two. It's something I'll probably look at after this interview, but people always ask that. They ask, you know, well, when's silver going to outperform gold? When's silver going to do well? That happens when inflation expectations really start to rise, and that rise continues. And that actually happened. If you look back in the 2008 scenario, inflation expectations, when inflation expectations started to rise and it sustained it and they kept rising, that really began at the end of December. And so if you look at, you go to the MVIS website, which is the parent index of GDXJ, that has data going back to 2004. So GDXJ really started to outperform in early to mid-December. Then silver really started to outperform at the end of December. So after the bottom, there was a couple, it took a couple months in some cases for, you know, the rest of the sector, aside from gold and the largest gold stocks, to begin outperforming. And so that, I mean, I think, because I gave you the long fundamental answer, the second part of that was silver. And so that's what it will be important to watch for in regards to silver, is inflation expectations and when they can turn up and then sustain it. And I think, you know, that will, to some degree, that'll be aligned with the economy bottoming out and getting this virus under control, at least under control enough where most of the economy can reopen, and then we'll start to see activity come back. So I don't, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist. I can't predict that, but I don't know. Maybe that'll happen in the fourth quarter this year or the first quarter of next year. And look, markets are forward looking. So, you know, silver relative to gold will sniff that out before it happens.
So we've talked about the technicals, we've talked about the fundamentals. Let's talk a little bit about sentiment. You know, it's amazing how quickly in a month's time the overall view of something can change, and really sentiment and people buying these gold stocks is what's going to drive them higher and then higher and higher. And I just think back to like 2 years ago, I remember an interview I think I did with Rob McEwen. He said gold's going to 5,000. The amount of people that thought he was a nutcase saying that at that time was pretty high. And now I think a lot of people are going, oh, yeah, gold could go to 5,000. All of a sudden, you got Pierre Lassonde, who is no nutcase, on Kitco on a video interview making the case that gold could go to 20,000 bucks. People probably think that's pretty nutty right now. But the point being, like, how fast things can change. What are you seeing in terms of just the sentiment out there overall, gold investors, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think the sentiment has completely shifted. I mean, I can just use myself, and sometimes I can be a good contrary indicator, because I tend to get, when you're so deep in this, you know, it's hard to be a contrarian when it comes to your own sentiment. But I mean, I was getting really concerned late 2018, like right around the second to last bottom that we had. I was getting really concerned, like, okay, maybe the Fed's going to hike a couple more times. You know, gold can, it still has more downside. And then, you know, things turned around. And then in the last month or two, I mean, I was thinking like, well, gosh, I mean, let's look at 2008. You know, if the economy is going to be dead for like two or three quarters, nothing's going to happen. Gold already came down to 1450. I think it could, you know, it's going to have to retest 1375 at some point. And then I was looking at, you know, when do gold stocks bottom relative to the stock market peaks? And that made me think, well, maybe we won't see a bottom until November. So that's where my sentiment was. It was completely, you know, completely offsides, basically. I mean, we can't predict the future, but as far as I'm just saying, because, you know, I'm a professional, I'm in this sector, and that just goes to show you where my sentiment was at what is going to turn out to be a historic, you know, buying opportunity, something we tell our kids and grandkids about, you know, this bottom that we had a month or two ago. So yeah, the sentiment, I think it's obviously it was in the toilet a month or two ago, and you know, I put myself in that group as well. But now, you know, Colin, we could be getting into the type of market where, I mean, when a market makes a big breakout, it often does with sentiment bullish, and it makes that breakout, and then the market keeps going up for a while, even if sentiment is really bullish. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to tell people that, you know, don't be concerned with super bullish sentiment, because you should. But in the context of where the market is, when a market really takes off, sometimes sentiment is already bullish when the market starts to take off. So that's what we need to be careful about, is thinking, well, sentiment now has gotten, you know, these things have run up too far. You know, gold's run up too much. Sentiment's too bullish. You know, I'm concerned. We need to have a big correction before the next move higher. And you know, look, we just had the big correction. I mean, it happened in a month, and that was it. And so that wiped out or washed out, you know, a lot of weak hands. And, you know, here we are now. And so I'm not concerned about where sentiment is. I'd like to see gold and the gold stocks consolidate for a couple months here. But I don't even know if that's, honestly, I don't know if they're going to consolidate for that long, because the strength of this rebound, it was just so powerful. And it just happens so fast that there's going to be, you know, when that happens in a market, there's more momentum behind that kind of move that comes in the second round. So, yeah, I know I got off track with respect to sentiment, but look, if you look at sentiment and talking about Pierre Lassonde and Rob McEwen and their targets, when I updated my book last year, I said gold's going to hit $20,000 in the next 20 years, and silver is, you know, silver has a shot to trade up to $1,000 in the next 20 years. So if you look at the math and you look at the numbers, look at the monetary base, you look at the gold reserves that the Fed has, that the U.S. has, and, you know, how they were valued at various market peaks with respect to gold over the last 100 to 150 years, all these things that you look at, they all point to gold basically going to five figures. And then if you look at every major peak in gold, or every, you know, every precious metal's historical peak, that's when the gold silver ratio gets down to like 15 to 1. And so you know, that's how you get $1,000 silver. Now Colin, the real question is timing, which nobody can predict. I mean, saying gold's going to go to 5,000 is great, but I mean, is that going to happen in 5 years, 2 years, or 9 years? Because that doesn't help anybody, unless you're just accumulating gold for the next 20 years, which we should all do and is a great idea. But when you're playing these juniors, you know, that whether 5,000 happens in the next couple of years or the next 10 years, I mean, that matters. So these juniors, some of these companies won't be around in 10 years. There'll be different juniors then. So I'll just say this with respect to the gold price and targets. Technically, when gold gets back to 1900, it will have formed this cup pattern. And so a consolidation from there could set up a handle. But basically, you know, if gold sets up this cup pattern, a measured upside target would be 2750. So technically the levels to look for now are 1800 and then 1900, obviously. And then after that, if we get a clean break above 1900 and 2000, 2750 is the next, that is the next upside target to look for. And I got to tell you, Colin, I'm looking at a lot of stocks and a lot of juniors that I think even after, I mean, a lot of these things have already moved 50 or 75%. I mean, to where we are now. And I'm looking at these things and I'm like, wow, these things could still be 3X or 5X moves from where they are now, with just gold being at 1800 or 1900. I haven't even looked at, you know, what's the potential upside if we see gold go to 2000 or 2750, which is the measured upside target. I mean, if that happens, throw a dart, because there's going to be a lot of 10 baggers out there.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm just sitting here thinking, we've been doing these interviews for 5 years and just reflecting a bit, and it just feels like we're finally here now, and it's a really awesome feeling. And I remember in you're talking about 10 baggers. I remember 2002, 2003. I was way too young, but my dad was in the space. He was doing private placements, so the benefit of warrants and such. But 800% on his entire portfolio in 2002, 800% again in 2003, compounded like 65 times his portfolio in 2 years. And I know a lot of people that did that, and it's crazy, but as you know, Jordan, when juniors get going, there's no market that can beat it. So I'm thinking we're in for a fun ride ahead, and appreciate you getting back on. Any parting words before I let you go?
Well, I will say, and to throw out some numbers, I will say that, you know, I have a junior index that goes back to 2000, 2001, and it's slanted toward the stocks that did well. So it's not like it's a basket of successful, strong juniors, not necessarily a basket of all juniors. But interestingly enough, and I've changed the basket numerous times over the years because, you know, companies get acquired and there's new companies, et cetera. But interestingly enough, from the 2001 low in juniors and the 2008 low, this index, they're separate indexes really, but two different baskets, they basically returned about 14x from the absolute low in the first 2.5 years of the move. So that just goes to tell you how much upside potential there could be if you pick the right juniors over the next couple of years. So they've already had huge moves. A lot of these stocks have already doubled or gone up 50 or 75%. And you might be thinking, I can't buy this. It's gone up too much. And yes, I've had the same thought. I mean, I've had that thought during every cycle, you know, when we've had these huge rebounds. But the fact is, you have to buy weak, pounce on it when you see weakness. Many of these things are they're not going to correct like 30 or 40 or 50%. They're going to correct 20%. It's going to happen in a matter of days. It might happen several times if they consolidate for a couple weeks or a month or two. You have to pounce on that weakness. And if you look at GDXJ, the MVIS website that I mentioned, from 2008 to the peak in 2011, and most of this move was in 2 years, not 2.5 years, that GDXJ did 7.1x your money. So that just goes to show you with GDXJ how much potential there is there. And then if you can go a little bit lower and pick the stocks that are in my baskets, I'm trying to build a basket to, you know, that can replicate that 14x in 2.5 years performance. And in addition to that, Colin, I will mention, we're not just set up for a good 2.5 years. If you look at valuations and history and the economic factors at hand and the fundamentals, we are set up for, we've talked about this in the last couple of years, we're set up for a good 20 years in gold stocks. There will be sharp bear markets in between, no doubt. But if you look at, I see a lot of similarities to the early 1930s, the early 2000s, and the early 1960s. And so during these periods, Colin, gold stocks did really well for 6 or 7 years. I mean, there will be corrections. The sector will correct 40 or 50%, you know, probably a couple times in a 6 or 7 year time frame. But we're set up now for a good 6 or 7 years, or maybe 5 or 6 years. So there isn't just potential for a really good 2 or 3 years. There's potential for a really good 6 or 7 years here. So I'll just leave you with all that.
Yeah, well, this was fun. I'm enjoying having a conversation in better times than before when everything was so somber. So let's reconnect here in the next few weeks.
All right, sounds good. I look forward to it.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?